Welcome to the Hiking My Feelings virtual campfire. This is campfire number 25, I think. Oh my goodness, we're crushing it. So today is a big day. We have Craig McKnight from Muffin But Good Vibes and Doa's Daydream. Doa herself is here. And we're going to talk about what it means to dream big dreams and make them come true. So that's coming up. But first, we're going to talk about my dream. Because it's coming true today. I'm so excited. So what are we doing? This is not my van, clearly. So we're at Craig's house. I am sitting in front of the Muffin But Good Vibes test kitchen. So in a minute, I'm going to try this new flavor that he's like made for this delicious event we're doing right now. And I'm going to tell you about Take a Hike Diabetes, because that's what I'm really excited about. So we are, wait for it. We're on a mission to hike 1 million miles for diabetes awareness. And that sounds insane, because if I did that myself, I would have to hike like 3,000 miles a day for a year to make that happen. I'm interested in improving how many miles I can hike in a day, but to hike 3,000 in a day, I haven't done the math, but I'm pretty sure that's really fast. So to celebrate, we've got a couple things going on. One, we just opened up everything today, so you can go check out the website. It's hikingmyfeelings.org/diabetes. That's where we're talking about our kickoff event, which is a 30-day program that is centered around three categories that really impact blood sugar levels in the body. So we're talking about stress, we're talking about food, and we're talking about movement. And so we're introducing some mindfulness techniques to help you reduce your stress, because November is Diabetes Awareness Month, and it's also kind of a stressful month, even for people that don't live with diabetes. When you live with diabetes, you have like generalized anxiety all the time about what it means to live with this disease. And also, the first week of the month is election week. So no matter who you're voting for, it's stressful. The world is, the media and everyone and the whole world feels like it's melting down. It's not. There's lots of good people in the world. We've met a lot of them, and we're going to introduce you to two today. And then Thanksgiving is also like a really tricky time to navigate if you have any kind of weird disordered relationship with food, which P.S. most of us do in this country. So we're introducing all kinds of great things like intuitive eating. And we have Julianne Mahoney, who joined us for the virtual campfire back in May and June. She is a registered dietitian. She's the Outdoor RD on Instagram. And she is going to be teaching us about intuitive eating. And then we also have Emily Isaacs, who was with us last week. She's putting together some great resources around finding a sense of place in the wilderness, which you can also do in your own home, sitting on the floor, just being really mindful about like where you are and visualizing a beautiful space in nature when you need to find inner calm. We also have some wonderful diabetes advocates, and we'll announce more of those next week. So take a look at the website. Have a look around. We've got Chris Maynard, who's the founder of Glucose Revival. If you're not familiar, Glucose Revival is a little necklace. I don't have one on, but I'm pointing to it as if I did. It's a little necklace that has fast-acting glucose in it. So if you're like out on an adventure and you have a low blood sugar episode, you can pop off the charm, squeeze the glucose in your mouth, and then you don't have a hypoglycemic episode. If you don't know me, then you're about to hear a story. Back last year in February, I was at a concert and I had a hypoglycemic episode, and it was one of the scariest moments of my life. I actually thought I was dying, because I was pretty close to dying. So what you experienced physically was I lost my vision. I couldn't talk. I like lost all motor control. And so my husband, Barry, and one of our friends, Tim, like caught me on the way down, because I was like basically a sack of potatoes. And then I just remember being like dragged out of the venue to the medics station, and the bouncers were like, they thought I was drunk, because when you are having a hypoglycemic episode, it can present like being intoxicated. I wasn't, I'm sober. So like definitely was not drunk. It was terrifying. And so this little necklace, if I had that, I could have prevented this. And also fun fact that I didn't know, like 70% of first responders can't administer glucose in the field. So you can do this and like save your own life. And then if you're a person that's adventuring with diabetes, then you can tell everybody around you, you're like, hey, I have diabetes. This is what it looks like if I start to have a low blood sugar episode. And if I'm unresponsive, I've got this necklace, pop it off, rub it on my gums, and then I don't die. So you can help yourself. You can help your community help you. It's awesome. Chris is amazing. He used to be in the Air Force. He's a firefighter, and he is very passionate, as am I, about uniting all people with diabetes, pre-diabetes, type 1, type 2, because we have serious strength in numbers. And so we'll be talking about that. We've got Zumbi, Zion I. He's joining us in November for a continuation of the conversation we were having on my birthday during the virtual campfire, which was, this world is kind of melting down with COVID. Everything that we used to know is going out the window, but we also have an opportunity to rebuild something amazing. So how do we do that? And in the context of diabetes, when you first get diagnosed, it can literally feel like your whole world is melting down because you don't, at least it did for me. I didn't know what I could eat. I didn't know what was happening in my body. I didn't know if I'd have to live with this disease forever. And am I going to be on meds for the rest of my life? So we're kind of funneling that conversation in that way, is like, mindfully thinking about what it means to live with a chronic illness, and also using mindfulness techniques like listening to positive and empowering music as part of your healing plan to just like rid yourself of all the toxic messaging that surrounds us. So that's amazing. Gabach is going to be joining us. We've got Barry's going to be joining us. If you've heard of him, he's my husband. He's my co-founder on this whole journey we're on. So we've got a bunch of great folks. I'm missing a couple. Oh yeah. Mila Clark Buckley is a diabetes advocate. She also runs a blog called The Hangry Woman. She's coming and bringing some wonderful diabetic friendly recipes. So if you're living with diabetes and you're like, what can I eat? Mila's got you. And Doc Peace. Oh my gosh. So also, man, we've got like, I kind of get really into like booking everybody, and then I forget how awesome everyone is. Not like that I forget how awesome they are, but I forget just like the breadth of experience that we're bringing to this program. So also Doc Peace, which she was on the virtual campfire earlier this year as well. She's a pharmacist by trade, but a spoken word artist at heart. And she did a really awesome flow last time she was with us. And now she was thinking, like, in the time that we have been apart, she was thinking about like affirmations and stuff and how they don't really work for her, because you can read all the memes and like have the motivational posters in your office, but like if you're not personally connected to those words, it kind of feels like a New Year's resolution where it just kind of goes away. So she dug into this and she's been doing some research about why affirmations don't stick, and she's come up with a new like tool called the Personal Affirmation Creation Tool, aka a pact that you make with yourself. And so she's going to be talking about that. She's actually joining us on the virtual campfire on the 29th of this month. And then she's leading a workshop for the people that are doing our Take a Hike Diabetes program in November. So we're starting by like creating affirmations that will carry us through this whole program. There's lots of awesome stuff happening. So that's the program side of things, 30 days. It's hosted on the Hiking My Feelings Family Network. It's like a Facebook group, but without the white supremacy and conspiracy theories and spam and garbage advertising. It's just all Hiking My Feelings all the time, which if you like that, you'll love it. If you don't, then you won't. But that's where we host the program. It's all online. We release the resources for mindfulness, nutrition, and movement every Sunday. So you'll have videos. You'll be able to sign up for the different workshops that we've got. And then there's the fitness aspect of it. So part of our whole deal here at Hiking My Feelings is encouraging people to get off the couch and onto the trail. And this is a really good opportunity for us to do that. So we've partnered with an incredible organization called Kilter Rewards, and they have kind of gamified fitness. So it's like a cross between a wellness challenge, a virtual race, and like one of the marathons where you start a team and raise money for a cause. We're the cause now. This is really neat. And I'm talking about it in my head as if nobody's ever done this before. So thanks for bearing with me. But we're starting, like you can start a team and fundraise for your like office. Like if you work at a corporation and they are looking for an employee wellness initiative, this is a really good one going into the holidays. You can start just as a single person. And the way it works is everybody tracks their activities. This app pulls data from Apple Health, Google Fit, Strava, Garmin, MapMyRun, and I think there might be one more. And or you can enter a manual workout. So you get points for every workout that you do. And that's hiking, walking, 10,000 steps, running, swimming. Like, there's a whole list. And when you sign up, you can see what activities count. And we have prizes for participation. So if you earn points, you can win prizes. If you raise certain amounts of money, you win prizes. So like, it's super awesome. And so that app is how we're tracking towards our goal of hiking 1 million miles and for diabetes awareness. Cause like, I can't do that by myself. I want to, I'm going to try. I think if I could hike 1 million miles before I die, that'd be pretty neat, but I think I'd have to be alive for a really long time and like constantly walking. So track your fitness, win great prizes, raise money for Hiking My Feelings, and go through this program. It's tailored for people that live with diabetes, but let's be honest, like eating intuitively, moving your body and being mindful looks good on everyone. So even if you don't have diabetes, you should join us because it's going to be great. And I think that's all I've got for stuff today. Did I forget anything? I'm looking at Barry. Did I forget anything about this? Not yet. So we've got a giveaway today for the folks that are in Zoom. Thank you for joining us. We've got one 30% off for CETA Summit. So Beth, congratulations, CETA Summit. You win it. I'm writing this down so I don't forget. And that you can go get a sleeping bag. They make sleeping pads. They make awesome like outdoor utensils, like collapsible bowls and stuff for if you're going to go backpacking or camping. So CETA Summit is awesome. Thank you so much, CETA Summit, for your support. And I've got a holographic sticker. You don't get the one off my water bottle, but it looks like this. It's really fun. And so Alyssa, you just want a sticker. Congratulations. I'm so excited for you. And then the last one is our Blaze Your Own Trail to Self-Love, Hike Your Own Hike version. And actually, you know what? Alyssa, do you want a sticker or do you want the course? You get to pick. Put your choice in the comments. And then whoever doesn't get the course will get the sticker. So actually, or you could have both because everybody here has got stickers. So she'll take the course. Good choice. So Blaze Your Own Trail to Self-Love is our 12-week program. We're running our next live version of it in January, but the Hike Your Own Hike version is available now on our website. It's $99. You have instant access to all of the course materials and videos that explain the different activities. And Blaze Your Own Trail to Self-Love is rooted in guided self-discovery. It's a plethora of tools to add to your toolbox along your healing journey. You can do it in order if you want. You can pick and choose which different activities you do as you go through it. And if you're interested in doing the self-paced version, you can go grab that now at hikingmyfeelings.org/BYOT, like Blaze Your Own Trail. And if you want to join us in January, we do have registration open for that as well. We start January 3rd, and that's a 12-week program. So it's all of the resources that are available during Hike Your Own Hike, but also live facilitation. So we have weekly family meetings, and like nobody's in trouble. You're not getting grounded. It's like the stuff that we should have done when family meetings were happening when we were kids, a nice safe space to share your feelings. And then we also do weekly hikes with some mindfulness mixed in. So we give you a thought to think about while you go on your hike. So you can use that as a meditation while you're moving. And then we also have smaller groups called Summit Circles. And that is your personal cheerleading squad to support you through the program and through life throughout the program and then after. So Blaze Your Own Trail to Self-Love opens January. You should do it. Take a hike, diabetes, definitely sign up. Let's start tracking some miles in November. And I think I'm done talking about that. So that's my dream. I had a dream that like I wanted to have 1 million, like I thought it might be 1 million people hiking. And then I was like, maybe it's 1 million miles. But the idea was I just had this dream of like creating space for a community to come together and like rack up some serious mileage in the name of good causes. So we're focusing on diabetes right now. As you all know, if you don't know, maybe you don't, sexual assault survivor right here. So sexual assault and supporting survivors is another big thing that we care a lot about here. So we'll be doing some of that stuff come April for Sexual Assault Awareness Month. And then also Mind Body Connection is weaved into everything we do. So I feel like it's time to talk about muffins. So I'm wearing this awesome shirt, Muffin But Good Vibes. Craig is, he like sent us a message on Facebook, which to the page, which I like barely ever get notifications for. So I almost missed the opportunity to have these delicious muffins and develop this incredible friendship with this wonderful person. So Craig is in San Diego. His muffins are in San Diego and only San Diego. So you have to travel here to eat them. And I think I'm going to let him tell his story. So Craig, he's got a new flavor. We're going to try it. And then we're going to hear about Craig and how he's making his dreams come true. Yay, Craig!
Yay!
Yay!
He's
got muffins. Look at these. Look at how good they look, y'all. Oh my Lord. What? They're so good. Okay, so we've got a muffin here. Do you want to talk about it? Do you want to tell me about it?
So,
you want to pull up that one? I made you a table.
Let's go ahead and just, we'll cut it in half.
Okay. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I'm so excited. There are muffins being consumed. Nobody is being harmed in this muffin eating. Look at this.
This is a new flavor. This is a smoke flavored coffee cake with raspberry jam injection. Shout out to my friend Lisa at Perfectly Preserved, who makes some of the best jams around, in my opinion. And this one is going to be called Jam by the Fire. So to all the reggae heads out there, might be able to put two and two together.
So let's talk about that. That's a good segue into what is Muffin But Good Vibes. While I stuff my face, tell me a little bit about your mission. We're both aligned on this world collaboration, that world domination thing. And Craig is like, he's Craig Collaboration McKnight, if I had to guess what his middle name is. So tell me a little bit about the inspiration for the muffins and how this is working out for you so far.
Well, I guess it might be best to go back to where it started. Initially, I started making muffins just here at home, randomly.
This jam, I'm sorry, this jam is ridiculous.
I told you.
Shout out to your girl.
Yeah, I just started making a lot of different foods, and I just happened to make muffins one day, and it was really well received by my family. So I started taking them to my oldest daughter's soccer parties, and the parents there were raving about them. People were telling me I should sell them. And at that time, I was like, nah, that wasn't even a thought in my mind. Fast forward a couple years from that to when I got heavy into the reggae scene, I started taking muffins to bands, either here in town or bands that were traveling into town. That's the way I connected with them, and I ended up going down, hanging out with them, and they're telling me, sell the muffins. So fast forward even further now to when the pandemic hit, and it kind of shifted my work schedule, kind of changed a little bit. I was at home more, and so I started putting the pieces together. And I went for it. And now at this point on my menu, I have, well, there's the seasonal one with pumpkin right now, but I have 11 muffins on the menu in total. And 5 of those are attached to local San Diego reggae bands. So not something I ever expected to happen. And the great thing about it, I think, is everything's been so organic that everything started as a friendship with these guys. There was never a business sense in place. And so I think now moving to this point now, you know, these guys aren't just, you know, people that I admire their music, they're friends.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of made it so that everyone wants to be successful. We're helping each other out. So it's been great.
So let's talk about some of the bands and the different muffins that you've got going on, because I think I've tried most of them and they're amazing. So the idea is you pick a song or they pick a song and then the muffin just kind of gets morphed into that. Like, this is Jam by the Fire. Look it up. Do your math. If you're watching, you should probably definitely come have one of these, and they're delicious.
I guess the first one, what really got the creative juices flowing as far as some of the more wild flavors I had was Jackson Weatherby, The Elevators. The second time that I caught a show of them coming out here in San Diego, he put in a request, and it was kind of, you know, a little more wild, and so, you know, kind of took it a little bit further than just the common muffins that I had been making. And so, like I said, I got the creative juices flowing, and then that's when I connected with Garrett from Ocean Natives, and we started like kind of kicking around some ideas, and then that's how Sweet Green came into place. That's a lemon blueberry pistachio muffin. And then all the other ones just kind of fell in place after that. It all happened very organically. So
I think, and one of the cool things too, is like the flavor is kind of inspired by the songs, and then the muffin itself and how it looks. Like, talk to us about Skylar's muffin, because when I met you, you were still like tweaking Skylar's muffin. So Skylar Lutz is a local musician here in San Diego. And the song for that one is
Little Beach Town,
describing San Diego. So this muffin.
So it's also the only one that I had that's it's only exclusively vegan. And I had a lot of issues with trying to get the natural, because I use all natural everything. The colors are all natural, the flavors are natural, and I had a lot of issues trying to get the color. So basically, let me break down that muffin. So what it is the bottom layer is kind of like a bluish color to it. And it's a zucchini bread to start off with too. So it represents the ocean. The zucchini is the seaweed. And then the next layer is like finely mashed up walnuts. So you get that grittiness of the beach, of the sand. And then moving to the top of that, for the streusel portion of it, I use matcha in there to give it the green. So it looks like the bushes on the cliffside. So, you know, anybody that lives in San Diego or has visited San Diego knows, you know, moving from the ocean to the beach to the cliffsides. And so that's what that muffin represents. I think it just screams San Diego.
It's so pretty.
You know, Skyla Lutz is, I think, the epitome of that beach vibe, reggae. So it just works.
It does just work. It's really good. We have another guest today, too. So Doa, join us. I'd love to hear. I want to introduce you and talk about your dream and your life. So Doa is the singer and songwriter for Doa's Daydream. She was born in South Korea, raised in Hawaii, and now she's making these dreams come true here in San Diego. So tell us a little bit. Yeah, hey, represent. tell us a little bit about your journey to get to San Diego and how, like, I love your story of worthiness or lack thereof around music for you. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So, you know, growing up and with a very traditional, Korean parents, and I'm okay. And, I think it's a blessing, but my mom was, physically and verbally very abusive. So my self-worth and my self-esteem was, you know, not the best growing up, and, you know, pursuing music was never really like an option for me. And I didn't even think that that's something that I can do. Because I just didn't think that I was worthy enough, and I didn't believe in myself. And, as I, you know, came to San Diego about 7 years ago, left Hawaii, and I think, you know, I just wanted to leave everything behind and wanted a fresh start, because I, you know, Hawaii is a very small island. And I remember I used to get really like anxiety about running into my mom, and like just some silly stuff like that, you know? So I was like ready to, you know, start my real life. And, I came here about 7 years ago, and I was bartending and for a couple of years. And, you know, of course, my mom kind of told me like, hey, you know, you have a college degree. Like, what are you doing? Just bartending. Like, you need to go get a corporate job. And, you know, I was like, okay. And I started, as a salesperson, working at a corporate job. And, you know, just one day clicked me. Why am I doing this? Like, for what? And I was a pretty successful, and I hit all my numbers and exceeded, but I was so unhappy, and I felt no, you know, even though I was making, you know, I was starting to make good money or whatever, but I didn't feel any fulfillment for like my life, I guess. And I, you know, music was something that I always wanted to do, but I never thought that I was good enough to do it. But I really didn't want to live the rest of my life just working for someone else and just chasing money. That it's just, that's like not really, it to me, it has nothing to show for, kind of, I guess. And because when I'm so unhappy in the inside, like, what is all that money going to do? I mean, whatever. So I remember like I was going through this like sales coaching thing at when I was selling copiers at Xerox. This was like 4 years ago. There was one like question that you like that we had to answer. It was like, hey, so if you, what's the biggest thing you fear the most that you want to do? And I said, you know, in front of the whole class, I said, busking. So like, you know, those of you don't know what busking is, it's pretty much you just go out on the street and set up and, you know, sing and perform. And that was literally the scariest thing ever for me back then. And I said that, and you know, as I went through like couple other sales position, and I hated it so much. And I was like, oh, getting so frustrated. And I'm like, you know what, if I can busk and if I can overcome that fear, that biggest fear that I have and had, I am worthy to pursue music. So I remember, you know, I got some, and it was like in like a kind of like 9 p.m. or something like that. We were in the Ocean Beach, and I like drove up to like a Newport, like next to Starbucks, and I literally pulled up, and there's like a light, and there's like an ATM machine right next to it too. I pulled up and I was looking at that corner for like, I don't know how many minutes, just feeling super scared. And I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm doing this. And I was like shaking. And then I finally grabbed my little battery operated speaker, and I set up my guitar and my mic, and you know, I had no idea what was going to happen, but I'm like, oh God, I'm going to do it. I'm going to just do this for myself, not for anybody else. And, you know, I sang my little heart out, and everybody was, you know, some of the people that were walking around came by and, you know, threw me some money. And there's a hostel right across the street. I remember this one guy came down randomly, and then he's like, hey, good job. My wife told me to come and give you this. And he gave me like a $20 bill. And that's when I'm like, okay, well, I think, you know, I need to do this. And it just felt so good to actually be doing what you love. And I think that's what Craig, you know, like just how everything felt so naturally, and because how organically everything is just kind of happening, because, you know, Craig is following his heart and his dream. And when you are doing something like that, it's kind of crazy how universe has its way of just kind of presenting you these opportunities and opening up the doors for you. Because the 4 years of sales career I had, nothing was easy for me. Everything was a roadblock. Everything was a challenge. And, you know, I think I understand why now, because it was trying to direct me into taking this path. And if everything went really well doing sales, I probably wouldn't be here. I probably would be a complete different person. So all that obstacles and all that pain have really, really, like, you know, universe has funny way of showing your path, I guess. So I kind of went off on a tangent.
No, I dig it. Dude, that's awesome. And I think, like, for anybody that's watching, it sounds so cliche, but like, until you find the thing, everything, it really, even with Hiking My Feelings, like, there are days where I'm just like, what are we doing? But those days, more and more, like the last 3 or 4 weeks, have just been like really on fire, to the point where, especially as somebody who's survived trauma, like, I moved through most of my life waiting for the other shoe to drop since the assault. Like, I didn't know that I could trust ease, or that I could trust a good time, or I could trust stuff just flowing, because I was like always like looking around the corner waiting for something bad to happen, because that's how you operate in a body that hasn't responded or healed from trauma. And so these last 3 or 4 weeks, like, we are just on fire, and it's so much fun. And I'm just like, allow it, allow it, allow it. Like, I have to physically stop myself. And sometimes, like, something weird will come out of my mouth, and Barry's like, why would you call that in right now? And I'm like, I don't know, it's bad habits, I'm sorry. Like, I don't want to, but it's kind of hard, especially when there's like, and I know, like, for our community in particular, there are a lot of people that have survived trauma. So it's like, you go through and you're like, oh, things are cool, things are cool, things are cool, things are cool. And either they could keep being cool, or you could self-sabotage to bring yourself back to this area where you feel comfy, where it's a struggle. And like, that serves nobody. Like, if Craig was like, you know what, this one muffin burned, I'm done, I'd be pissed. Like, these muffins are delicious. Like, if he gave up after, like, the first batch, we wouldn't have met. Like, you know, like, mm-hmm. this is it. I just love how when you find your thing and you go after it unapologetically, it's like you're unstoppable, and the world and the universe and the people around you conspire to make that happen. Like, I am the biggest Doa fan. Like, I just want your music to be everywhere. Like, I'm the biggest Craig Muffin fan. Like, I want his muffins to be everywhere, realistically. Like, we want to keep them, like, kind of exclusive so people, like, really want them. Like, if they were everywhere, I'd also be fine with that. So it's just, it's so fun to chat with people that are dreaming big dreams, and not just dreaming them, but making them happen. And I think, like, that's something that I want to talk about too, is, like, we talk about this in our course, Blaze Your Own Trail to Self-Love, is, like, what's the difference between a daydream and planning and visualizing and manifesting? Like, work, right? Like, how bad mm-hmm. do you want it? Ultimately, the gal that I was interviewing for that conversation, her name's Hannah, and she's a world champion skydiver, and that's, like, the least important thing she's done in her life, but it's a big one, and it certainly is impressive in conversation. So I was just like, what made you get to the point where you were standing on a podium having just beat every other skydiver in the world? She's like, well, how bad do you want it? Like, I have people that I train that say, yeah, but my kids, and she's like, okay. And they're like, yeah, but money. She's like, okay. And they're like, yeah, but my house. She's like, okay. All of those things I've also dealt with. So, like, at the end of the day, I just really, really wanted it. And I think, like, we're all kind of in this phase where it's like, it's not just a dream anymore. We're actually doing it and keeping that momentum going forward. So, like, where are you in your path of, like, cause this is not a daydream anymore. Like, you're singing, you're making yeah. it happen. So, like, what do you want the future to look like for you and for your music?
I think the biggest thing for me, I do think about the future a lot. As far as the future goes, I want to have a lot of things in, like, brainstorming right now, but I have some more music coming out soon, and some really elaborate and artistic music video to go with it. So, I mean, I would love to get on, you know, I'm a performer, so I love being on stage, and I love connecting with the crowds and having a very interactive, like, start to finish, very thought out performance. So I want to grow as a performer and maybe start opening up for bigger bands and kind of get my band and myself kind of out there in that, you know, whatever the scene that it takes me, but somehow the reggae scene, like, that type of scene is gravitating towards me. So I'm going to follow that path. But also, I used to live in future, like, so much that it was so stressful. And Cindy, like, when you talked about, you know, not like that stress that you get when all these good things are happening, and then you just sabotage it, and you kind of just, like, subconsciously sabotage it, you know, I'm so bad at that sometimes. So I still have a lot of work to do with that. But I'm just trying to really, really live in the present moment right now and just give 110% to this that we're doing right now, right here. And because, you know, when I think about the future, I do get stressed a lot, and I do have a lot of things that mapped out and planned, but, you know, I always try to, like, kind of come back to doing exactly what I am doing right here, right at this moment, giving my 100% to you, Cindy, to you, Craig, and to everybody that's listening to this, you know, virtual campfire. And it's, you know, once you start taking that action, and I think, you know, that's what we have the hardest time, is taking action because of our fear. And once that fear, we let go of all that fear. But, you know, you have to take the action too, because it will only get easier. So, you know, I'm making, as a musician, it's sometimes really hard to, because things, scene can be kind of clicky at times, you know, but for me, it's like I'm really driving and just creating my own opportunities and creating my own, like, how Craig's doing. And, you know, Craig has this thing that he's doing Saturday, and, you know, that's something that he created on his own. And it's just kind of like empowering yourself to do it. And when you think about even just little things like, oh, like the shoes I'm wearing, it's like, it was someone's, that shoes was in someone's head, you know, and it was their daydream. And then, but they made it really happen and put it into something that's tangible. And it's like believing in that and just doing that is something that, like, I always try to do. And yeah, I don't know. Now I'm going off on another tangent.
No, I dig it. Cause I think that's an important thing to remember too, is just that it's one thing to think about it, but like the reality is nobody's going to get discovered, right? Like you have to create, like there are magical things that happen on the path when you're like really focused on what you want, but like nobody's going to hand it to you. And if the people are offering things to you, also like be open and don't turn that down. Like we can have like these visions for what we want, but like, if I, like, I'm trying to think of an example and I have nothing off the top of my head, but like, how many times have you been like, okay, I want to do this, this, and this, and then something shows up and it's not what you thought it could be, but it ends up being like a million times better. Like this year, COVID, great example. Like I should have been up in Canada leading a retreat right now, but that didn't happen because COVID canceled everything. And so that was an opportunity. Like I did give myself a complete nervous breakdown. I did give myself the chance to like grieve and like miss what we had built. But what we just did this last weekend in Joshua Tree was better than the workshop that got canceled. Like better than that one would have been. And those things don't happen. Like if I was just like, oh, well, it didn't happen, so now I'm never doing anything at Joshua Tree ever again, and I just turned off my brain, then I wouldn't have been open to an opportunity to do a 3-day event versus just a single day workshop. So I think, especially when it comes to like opportunities and the people that get put on your path, whether you're religious and you think that you believe that like God is putting people in your path, or if you're like universal energy and you're just like the universe delivers, or if you're like, it's a coincidence, whatever, this person just happened to be on the street and they have exactly what I need. Like the magic of that gets can just be like completely squashed if you're scared. Like fear turns off the sight that we have to see the magical things that can happen, I think.
Yeah. I can comment on that.
Yeah.
It's I've used this word a lot in the last 6 months, and that's serendipitous.
Yeah. One of my favorite movies, Serendipity.
I've met so many people over the process of this, and some of them I went in just it, like, for instance, there was some outreach programs that I gave to early on just to try to, you know, connect with the community. And then in turn, I've met all these other people that are connected to those organizations. They've been connecting me with these people. And then the path just keeps continuing. And it continues to happen to this day. I just keep meeting. I mean, I would have never met the two of you if this hadn't happened. I would have never known who probably Doa was. Because it's all just kind of come together, and it's been amazing. And I mean, I want to sit here and like shout out like 50 people right now.
Go for it. Shout them out.
Well, all right.
Show so, appreciation. That's what we're all about.
Kathleen, it's Stella Mochi. It's one of those things too. You could say, oh, well, she makes mochi muffins. Well, she's a competitor, right? Well, we don't see it that way. She's given me so many recommendations for local ingredients for people that run small businesses here. To use their product. So a lot of my stuff, I have to tip my hat to Kathleen, because I would have never known about these ingredients without her. Shout out to Sean up at Shadow Ridge Distillery, who makes some of the best bourbon you can find in San Diego, and it's what goes in the Tingle Muffin, the Resonators Muffin. I just keep rattling off names here. It's just been so insane. And even right now, I'm having a hard time finding all the words.
Yeah.
Because it's been so overwhelming. The community, not just the music community, it's been the culinary community. The people that have stepped in that, you know, are supposed to be, you know, it's supposed to be competitors, but it's never seen that way. It's like everyone keeps saying, and it's the same thing. And there's enough room for all of us.
Yeah.
We can all do this together. And like you said, the world collaboration, I keep saying strength in numbers. Like it's that sort of thing. And it's what's carrying and it's what's propelling my business forward right now. And I have so many moments like the other weekend, Dylan, when you were here with the other bands for the Vibes Alive radio show, and Barry and Sydney were here as well. And so many times during that night, I had to like step back and like, is this really happening? This is really happening. Not only that, it was happening in my house, and it really just boggles my mind. You know, it's an amazing thing. I'm losing words.
Yeah, here. It's good. But I think a rising tide lifts all boats. We rise together, strength in numbers, yada, yada, yada. Like all of it's true. And the more that we can lean into that. And I think the biggest thing, especially like for folks in our community, like one, identifying the help that you need is hard. Like we have egos, we have trauma, we have things that prevent us from like asking for the help we need. So like identifying what kind of help we need is hard. Asking for help is hard, and receiving help is hard. Like these are all things that we have to actively, like for me, it felt like when you were talking about before you went out and did busking for the first time, like the first time that I did a video anything was with my friend Jess back in 2017. And we had a show called Unfuck Yourself, and it was awesome. But before we did it, and it wasn't even live, like we recorded it on Zoom and then we edited it and then we posted it later. But before we hit record, it was just the two of us. Before we hit record, we were on Zoom for an hour, terrified to start this conversation. Cause we were looking back, I'm like, I think I was more scared of like what happens when it goes well than I was about like, what do I look like on camera and stuff like that. Like, this is my face. If you don't like it, it is what it is. But like, I think the biggest thing that has always held me back that I've just completely abandoned, and I left this on the trail in Yosemite when we went backpacking in September, was like, I've always been scared of success, straight up. And that sounds stupid to say. And I admitting that out loud makes me feel kind of like a pompous douchebag, but like at the same time, that's my truth. Like I have been so scared of what happens when things go well, because I'm not used to things going well. So now things are going well and I'm just like, I'm along for the ride. I'm just like on this roller coaster. I got my hands up. I'm going to keep taking a step every day that like gets us closer to this goal, whether that's a million miles for diabetes awareness, whether that's just me managing this disease, our friendships, our relationships, whatever. Like I'm just trusting it and riding it. And I think that it's scary for things to go well sometimes. And I think that fear can really just like put a total stop to our big, big dreams. And I think that's the difference between like it being a dream and it becoming reality, is like telling fear to take a back seat, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And totally. And that's how I felt too. You know, you got to recognize your self-worth and you got to love yourself before, you know, people can start believing in you. And that's what I really, really been feeling the last year or two. And you know, if you don't believe in yourself, like how are you going to convince other people to believe in what you're doing? And
I saw that on a sandwich board last year on tour, seriously, yeah. Outside of a cafe. And I was like in my feelings. And then this board was on a sidewalk and I was like, screw you. You don't know me. But the board was like, if you can't believe in yourself, who else will? And it was like a gut punch. I was like, oh my God, you're right. Like, cause that's an energy. Like people feel that, like, if you don't believe in yourself, if you're scared of whatever, like, people notice, like, and that's why things don't happen. But when you're like feeling confident, you're feeling yourself, and whether that's like feeling sexy in your body and like attracting a person, or just like feeling sexy about your business and attracting partners for business stuff, like it's all of that. Like it's so important. And it's literally the, like, I feel like that's the key to unlock, is like the second that, and I don't want to like gaslight people into thinking that if you don't love yourself, then you won't have success, but like it does make it a lot more easy and a lot more fun.
Yeah. And then the funny thing is like, and then there's like this whole other side of self-love and narcissism, but yeah. That's a whole nother topic. And like, sometimes I feel like, oh my God, am I being too much like me? It's like, so we're like borderline, but you know, kind of change like switching gear a little bit. But, you know, I think Cindy and I had a good conversation about what Craig kind of just mentioned about, like, you know, the world and collaboration and things like that. And, you know, in the music world, you know, there's a lot of like competitiveness that can kind of go along with that. And I can only imagine for, you know, what you're doing, Cindy, and then as an author, and then what, you know, Craig's doing as a, you know, maker and a, you know, community leader or whatnot. But I did feel like, oh, sometimes like there is that notion of like, oh, I need to get my music out there. I need to brand myself. You know, like it's such a like me kind of thing sometimes. So you forget like, it's hard like to not get into that zone, you know. But you know what kind of got me coming back to kind of what Craig was saying is like, I gotta step back and you know, like I gotta show love first. Like I gotta be the person that show love first, no matter what other people are doing or not doing. And you know, the thing I think it's like kind of like showing. Like you're always going to have your haters out there. Right. And then like some people might not give you the opportunity that you want or deserve or whatever. And they are kind of maybe a little bit threatened or, you know, and, you know, I look back and I'm like, I've been there, I've done that, you know, and this is why I did it, because I was not confident with my craft. I was not confident with what I was doing, that I felt like I needed to do that. And when I started to recognize that, like that's when I kind of like adjust and switch my whole gear of, you know, like I need to be the first person to go help other people and go, you know, show love without expectations. And eventually like everything just kind of started really like, you know, coming along. And I think people kind of knew that, you know, she's not here to be, you know, catty or whatever it may be. Right. And the truth is like when people listen to music, you know, we can have hundreds and thousands of artists that we love and that we listen to. So if we really think about it, when you think about how many people are in this world and these are all the target of our audience, like there's enough love to go around to help each other, to support one another and be happy for one another and celebrate successes together. Like it's the love that we can have for everyone is so, so huge that like thinking about that makes me like kind of get into that next level of like love and, you know, wanting to, you know, open my heart up and be a good person and just, you know, so I can collaborate with everybody. And I think something lovely and something very unique that comes out of every like interaction like this, every, you know, relationship, and then we all can learn from each other. And I think that is so important to building that community and just kind of just, yeah, now I'm going off another tangent.
Oh, I love you. Well, I think one of the things that stood out that you were talking about was like, feeling like, oh, it's me, I've got to go brand, I've got to get my music out there. Like, here's the other thing though, you do. And I call myself a recovering marketer because I've been doing it for forever. And for the last 2 years, I've been like really resistant to like use all the knowledge and skills and training and techniques that I have acquired over my career, because everything that I have witnessed, like, I don't like the people where it's like, it feels gross. But here's the new, like, newsflash, I'm not gross, Craig isn't gross, you're not gross. Like, we literally owe it to the world to market the shit out of ourselves so we can kind of course correct and like take up some of the room, because there is plenty of room for everybody. We need to take up some space too, because it's not, this world is big enough for everyone, and also we should be part of it and not afraid to take up that space. And I think particularly as women, and then also just like as new people in whatever venture we're doing, there's this tendency to be like, oh, I don't know, like, is that going to be like too promote-y? It's like, well, how the hell are people going to know about the muffins if you don't promote them, right? Like, yeah. we got to do something. So I think it's a fine line, but like, I think if you're, I always go back to, if I'm concerned about coming off as a narcissist, then I'm not a narcissist, because narcissists don't give a fuck, you know?
That's true. Like,
so if you're worried about it, you're probably not one.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that. Well, you gotta crack the whip on me, because sometimes I'm right there and I still struggle with it. You know, it's like I feel like these are something that I'm going to struggle with for, you know, a long time because of the trauma that we
reframe through. You're going to be working through these things. It's a lifelong journey, and you're going to be acquiring skills that make dealing with the things that used to suck a lot easier.
Easier. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, I love
struggling.
That.
Like, look at you. I mean, like, there will be struggles for sure, but like, DOA today versus DOA 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, like, struggle is significantly less, I would assume. At least that's the vibe.
Absolutely. I'm getting from you. Yeah. I mean, you know, when I think about it, like, the trauma that I went through, I see it as a blessing, you know, because I wouldn't be the person who, like, I am today if I didn't go through all those pain and obstacles. And, you know, this took a lot, but, you know, I actually thank my mom for it. Like, and she cried, you know, because I think she realized, like, you know, sometimes like abusers don't really know what they've done, because it's such a, like, they're just kind of blinded and they just kind of react. And, you know, when I told her, you know, some of the things that is very specific, like, she doesn't remember. So I was like, wow, I'm like, does she really not remember this? Or she just kind of like refused to remember this. Like,
right.
It's such a significant thing, you know, but I just wanted to be that bigger person and kind of like understand like where she was coming from and what some of the things that she could have been going through to, for her to act that way. I mean, you know, it doesn't give her the excuse, but at the same time, like, the fact that like I was able to like come to my own terms of forgiveness and peace with it, and then, you know, letting her know, like, you know, mom, I'm actually really thankful that I don't regret anything that happened. It's like, because, you know, I am very blessed and I feel very, you know, fortunate to come out on top, and I didn't go the other route, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
for sure.
Thoughts.
Well, I have a little bit. I mean, because I guess a lot of people might look at my journey so far with this as being, oh man, everything is just going so great. You know, it seems like everything's perfectly fine with him. But in all actuality, since, you know, we're here, this is, you know, hiking my feelings. And all, that I suffer from anxiety. I mean, I'm just the same as a lot of people out there with anxiety. Mm-hmm. And sometimes my wife kind of laughs at me a little bit, because it'll be every single time a muffin box leaves this house. If it's going somewhere to somebody for the first time, it's like in the back of my mind.
It's gotta be perfect.
And it's like, it just starts creeping in. Like, what if they don't like it? What if there's something wrong? And it's like, so, you know, it's always something that I struggle with. And really before, I don't know. And a lot of that, I think, is attributed to the scene with a number of these people I've made friends with, and even and just the music itself. Because before, I used to listen to a lot of metal and harder rock. It was very angsty. I was a much angrier person than I am now. And so that, you know, it's just this whole, it's almost like this cosmic shift. And I still have, but this the thing is, I still have those inner conflicts from that part of me to what this is becoming now. And it's a struggle at times. It really is. And, you know, and then I have that same feeling too, like everything's going so great. Like, this keeps happening, you know, I'm connected with this person. You know, I have this happen, this event's going on, but then it's always like, what's going to go wrong.
Right.
I still always have that sinking feeling. Like, I'm just waiting for that next hurdle to come, or the next wall to come and stop me. But I have to say, because of the community and the people I've connected with, it's made these situations easier for me to deal with now. Now I don't feel like I'm hitting that wall, you know, like flat on. Now I feel like I'm coming up to the wall and I'm approaching it. I'm observing it. And then I'm getting around it.
Yeah.
So
I like that.
It's been a complete change. And, you know, and like I said, not perfect. None of us are. And I still have all these conflicts. So, you know, on the surface, everything, you know, nothing but good vibes. You know, but
it's like your duck.
Yeah.
Underneath, you're like,
underneath. Yeah, it's there for sure. But yeah, it's in it all kind of circles back around the community thing that people have been, it's been uplifting, like everything. It's like, I have so many moments, like I have to bring up like the Jimmy O painting. We have Doa here. She's the one that sent me the story on Instagram. And I literally shed a couple tears seeing that. I was like, it blew me away. I had goosebumps that were like raised way off my arm. I just couldn't believe that, like that had happened. And it's just moments like those that just keep happening again and again, and again and again. And it's just an example of the community. And how everyone is just, you know, everyone's looking out for each other. I feel that way. And I mean, I have to bring up, I know I mentioned earlier with the muffin, with the resonators, but these guys have been, you know, it's no longer what started. And can I give a little backstory
of
with
course,
these guys?
Yeah.
So it's when I first started getting into the scene and I couldn't find anybody to go to the show. It was down at Winston's with Skylar Lutz and the resonators. And I couldn't find a single friend that wanted to go. You know, everybody's like, oh no, I gotta be home with the wife, gotta be home with the kids, and now I can't do it. And I'm trying to find somebody. So I just send them a message. I send both bands just randomly to send them a message. Hey, you know, I can't find anybody to come down. You know, come down and hang out. And they're like, yeah, come on, man, come down.
That's,
you know,
awesome.
It's just, you know, just random. Some random guy sending them a message on social media, and they're like, yeah, just come down, hang out. It's cool. So I go down there. I'm helping them unload their gear from the truck, and they're looking at me like I'm crazy. Like, why is this guy helping us? And but that's what everything was built on from that moment. And it just, now it's no longer just a friendship for us. I consider those guys family.
Mm-hmm.
There's been the post recently that I'm the sponsor of their studio now. You know,
so cool.
I couldn't imagine.
How did that come? Tell us how that came to be. Did they ask you? Did you ask them? Were you like, hey, let's do this? Like, how did that happen?
Well, there was a meeting. They put up a story on Instagram too at that time too, saying, hey, we just met with the Muffin Man. And we just had a sit down meeting and just talked about things. And it just came up there. They were talking about the whole idea of doing the live performances with bands in the studio. And, you know, I just wanted support. It's just been a great situation for everybody involved. And like I said, those guys are no longer friends to me, they're family. And it's just, you know, looking back on how we met and not only that, it's just seeing the growth. It's not just the growth of my business. I'm watching the growth of all these musicians.
Yeah.
Like for their sound, as much growth as they've shown over that same time period, you know, it's just wild. And it's so much fun, you know, as I continue to connect with, you know, these other people or these other bands and you know, learning. What's been learning the ins and outs of not only the culinary industry, but learning the ins and outs of the music industry and seeing the struggle and seeing the behind the curtain of what goes on. It's fascinating to me. And it makes me have so much more respect for them and want to support them even more because you see that struggle. But it's just nice starting to see some things come to a peak now, seeing that, you know, this whole community is coming together, bonding. It's been amazing. I'm overwhelmed by the response from everyone, and it feels great. You know, I hit 40 this year, and you know, here we are with my family in a new house, this whole business venture, and it just feels like, you know, everything's just taking this huge turn for the better, and it's just wild. You know, I met, you know, there's you and you're okay.
We're all right.
Yeah. So it's a lot of fun. I mean, it's like mentioning, watching the growth, like look, the growth with hiking my feelings has been phenomenal. And it's another one of those things. It's like, when you guys share news with me, it's like, I get excited. I'm like a little kid. I'm like, oh yeah. Tell me more.
And
it's so much fun.
That's an important thing too, is like have people that you can celebrate with. Like we were talking about this at the retreat that we hosted over the weekend. Like 2020 in particular has been a bit of a dumpster fire, but there are still things to celebrate. And if you don't have people that you can celebrate with, go find some, because as we move through like this life journey, if we're on a trail, like it's really easy to remember when we fell down and broke our leg, or when, you know, this job didn't work out or this relationship didn't work out. But we have to stop and celebrate. And especially when things feel like they're chugging along, like I firmly believe that like stopping, doing a happy dance, telling somebody else and sharing that joy with them is one of the most important ways to signal that like, A, you're grateful, and B, you're ready for more. Like if you believe in like the law of attraction or universal abundance or God giving miracles, whatever your spin on it is, like showing appreciation for when things are going well is how more things go well. So I love that you mentioned that about just like everything's chugging along and like, yay. So celebrate. Also, I want to hear some music. Do you want to play some songs?
Yeah, of course.
Cool. I'm going to turn off my camera and we're just going to like let you shine your big bright light.
Okay, I think I'm going to start off with like a fun, like a cover of mashup. Hope you guys like it.
Anytime she goes away. Say what child I am, yeah. I am gonna take out of your. Thank you.
I can't wait till we can have live music again. And like, I don't know, I don't care where you play. If it has a comfy couch, I'm sitting there all night long. Like, just let it rip.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Ah. Oh my gosh, so good. So I want to take a break and share some of the cool stuff that we've got going on for Take a Hike Diabetes, because I talked about like what we're doing for November. And then we also have a lot of cool stuff that happens after November. But for folks that raise or donate $100, you get the Hiking My Feelings Take a Hike Diabetes Care Package. So it comes with a hat, and the hat has our, this is a new one, because like all the hats that we did before, the logo is in the middle. Shout out to Nick. Yeah. He's our dude. He made these wonderful t-shirts. Left Coast Printing Pros. They're crushing it. So yeah, so this glows in the dark, so it's really fun for night hikes. And then we've got Take a Hike Diabetes on the side. Ooh, ooh, ooh. And then you also get one of the Hiking My Feelings candles. And this is from Sway Candles. It's our signature scented candle that we did with them. It smells like awesome, heaven in a jar. So good. Smell it. Love it. Yep. Almost as good.
I love mine. It's so wonderful.
And then this is not the real deal, but this was part of the prototype that we did. Actually, the prototype's in my bag. But so this is just, it looks like a little notebook, because this one is, but imagine the Hike in My Feelings trail journal, which is currently being created in Portland, Oregon. So it'll have like a little design that's inspired by the cover of my book. And then you open it up and there's the instructions for how to hike your feelings. And then you got blank pages. These pages aren't blank, but we're pretending. And then on the back, it's got more information. So little trail journals that we're making now. And then one of these super duper holographic stickers. So if you donate or raise $100, then you get some of that. We've also got, if you raise $50, you get a All Trails Pro membership for a year. If you raise $250, you get the Blaze Your Own Trail to Self-Love program. If you raise $1,000, you get a one single day retreat with me and Barry, travel not included. And then our campaign, so this is the kickoff. So Take a Hike Diabetes is everything we're doing next year. And we're starting it this year in November for Diabetes Awareness Month, because that makes sense. So what we're doing next year is we're going around the country, COVID willing, and hiking in a bunch of different areas where there's a prevalence of diabetes and or where recreation opportunities are accessible to lots of different people. So we'll start with the Trans-Catalina Trail in March, because that's what we're doing for our retreat. And then in June, we're doing the hike that we were supposed to do this year, which is the Chicago Outer Belt. And that's 220 miles around the city of Chicago. And I'm really excited about that trail, because most of it is accessible via public transportation, which opens up recreation opportunities to tons and tons of people, because you don't have to have a car. Like, you can just go take the bus to a trailhead and then take the bus home. And it makes it just a lot more accessible. So you don't have to drive an hour and a half or go to a national park to have a wonderful outdoor experience. You can have it in your own backyard in the city that you live in. So our tour that we designed for next year is highlighting accessibility of recreation, and also going through some communities that have a high prevalence of diabetes. So we're looking at a trail called the Lake to Lake Trail, which goes from Lake Michigan to Lake Huron across the state of Michigan. We're going to be doing a section of the Pacific Crest Trail from like Portlandish to Seattleish. Obviously the PCT doesn't go through the city, but like offset, it goes up. And then there's a trail called the Northeast Texas Trail that's right outside of Dallas. It's about an hour from Dallas. So that opens up a lot of recreation opportunities in that part of the state, because that's near a major metro area. And then we're doing a section of the Appalachian Trail through Georgia, which is, it starts about an hour-ish outside of Atlanta, where There's a really serious population with diabetes in and around Georgia and the South in general. And then looking to go to Washington, D.C. as well, where they are also creating, they have a group called the Capital Trails Coalition. And there's like 400 something miles of existing pedestrian walkways, trails, and other things that they're linking together to make a big trail system, kind of like what they did in Chicago. So the big plan is to go and do these hikes and then host the virtual campfires on the road. So we'll have actual campfires like on these trips. We've got workshops, like everything we do in Blaze Your Own Trail to Self-Love is what we were planning to do on the road this year. So we've got a bunch of great workshops that we can offer in person, socially distanced, safe, masked up, you know the deal. And then if for some reason COVID is like, hey, I'm back and y'all are staying home, then we've got the virtual component. So you can track your hikes and do this virtually with us via Kilter Rewards. So we've got a backup plan for everything, because this year I did not have a backup plan for what happens when the tour got canceled and then I cried a lot. So now we've got a backup plan and it's going to be awesome. So you can donate now. You can get signed up on Kilter on your phone. All of that information is at hikingmyfeelings.org/diabetes. I'm thinking, do you have another song, or do you want to like talk about gratitude? You want to do another song?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah.
Needs you. Hawaii has such a big diabetes population.
Well, let's go hike in let's go hike in Hawaii. I'm down. Let's do it.
Yeah.
That's part of the question. So like we say that at Hiking My Feelings, we're on a mission to improve community health by creating opportunities for people to experience the healing power of nature. That's our mission. We're also on a mission to hike 1,000,000 miles for diabetes awareness. Secondary mission. What are you doing? He's a muffin thief. You're so sneaky. Gary stole the muffin. Now there's only like 3 pieces left. So rude. I love you. So one of the questions, like, so the work that I've been doing, it started as my personal journey, but now this is a question that I'm asking the world, and that I hope to answer through meeting incredible people on the road again next year, and just storytelling and the people that come through our programs. I'm not a doctor and I'm not a like clinical researcher, so the way that I'm exploring this is through meeting folks, going on the trail and telling stories. But my question is diabetes the root, or is trauma the root cause of diabetes? Because my trauma that was unresolved, that I buried all the way down in the bottom of my invisible backpack, which I call my trauma pack, the sexual assault was the thing that I had buried. And the coping mechanisms were developed as a result of the assault. And the coping mechanisms, like drinking a bottle of wine to yourself every night and eating Ben and Jerry's for breakfast, definitely impacts blood glucose levels in the body and how my body can process that. So yes, there is genetic predisposition. Yes, lifestyle choices are a part of it, but is trauma the root cause of diabetes? So I was thinking about it and I've been doing some research. And if you look at the prevalence of diabetes divided up by racial groups, Native Americans and Native Alaskans and indigenous communities are at the top of the list. Like they have the highest prevalence of diabetes. There's a tribe, the Pima tribe has like 50% of their tribe has diabetes, and that's insane. And then underneath that is the Black community. Underneath that is Latinx community. And underneath that is like whites and others. So like, if we're looking at trauma as the root cause of disease, think about all the trauma that indigenous communities have faced. We came here, stole your land, took your food away, did like incorporated all the things that make America terrible in colonization. And then look at the Black community, came over on slave ships. Racism in America is awful. It is not easy to be a Black person in this country. Same with the Latin communities, like immigration, all of that stuff. Like if we think about trauma as the root cause of the disease, like, yeah, we need to talk about accessibility to food. Yeah, we need to talk about pay equity. Yeah, we need to talk about food deserts. Yeah, we need to talk about all the systemic things that keep people from being able to live whole, happy, healthy lives. But at the root of that, and what we systemically infuse, is the trauma from the way that we arrived or the way that things have evolved. So I'm wondering, how do we like prove that? So I'm hoping to explore that through the stories and interviews that we do here on the virtual campfire, because there are a lot of people that do work specifically in these communities with regards to diabetes. And so that's the question that I'm trying to answer. And hopefully connect some dots on, because if we can heal the trauma, then we can write policies that are more equitable, that make everybody happier, healthier, and more lovely. And we can like actually change the world. So that's where I'm going for the 2021 Take a Hike Diabetes campaign, is like, that's the question I'm asking, is exploring how trauma manifests in our minds and bodies and how the outdoors can help us heal. Because when it comes to disease, and then also you think of like climate change and what's happening just all over California with the fires and everything else, like if we took a step back and let indigenous communities lead with the knowledge that they have from stewarding the lands for thousands of years before we arrived, we probably wouldn't have the whole world on fire right now. Mm-hmm. And if we did, it would be in a controlled way that actually benefits the environment that we live in. So there's a lot of things that all tie together, but that's where my head's at. Cause I give a lot of shits about a lot of things, and this kind of ties it all up in a bow, like the accessibility piece, the food piece, access to clean drinking water. Like, are you kidding me? The fact that Flint is still not clean drinking water, and we live in America, which is apparently the best country in the world, and we got people that can't even get clean water. That is outrageous to me. Like, there's a lot of balls in the air that we got to fix, but I'm hoping that at least through like the diabetes angle, I can try to make a mark in that way and start identifying trauma as the root of a disease. So I'm not a doctor, so I don't know.
You got to go to Hawaii. I think Hawaii is calling your name, I think. That's kind of, you know, I took history at school. That was my major. And I studied a lot of Hawaiian history too. And that was one of the topics that we talked about. There's rampant numbers of, you know, Hawaiian, you know, native Hawaiian folks who have diabetes. And it's absolutely outrageous. And it's crazy how the numbers is like, it's absolutely insane because of, you know, the native Hawaiians before the colonization, like they were eating fish and taro, and they lived off of their land, right? So they're eating all these very healthy food, and, you know, they got introduced to like pastries, you know, a lot of like European food that their body didn't know how to digest. And, you know, now they're used to eating rice and spam and, you know, shitty food because they can't afford fresh food, you know? So that's exactly kind of what you explained about. And I'm going to do some digging. I'm going to find someone that maybe like who has some type of, you know, a little bit more expert in that area. And maybe, you know, I can get you guys connected.
That'd be dope. Yeah. So an open call to anybody that's doing work on behalf of communities that are suffering with diabetes. Like, let's chat. Like, that's our whole thing. So let's play a song, and then we'll wrap it up with a group gratitude circle.
Perfect. All right, this song is called We, and this song is gonna probably be my next release. This song is about just fighting and getting the community together, and, you know, kind of what we talked about, I think. Hope you guys enjoy it.
We'll show you who we are together. You bet.
it's a drop of your breathing deep. Oh,
yes. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about where you were, like, where were you when you started writing those lyrics?
So this was actually, believe it or not, it was like 3 years ago. It was right after the election, I think. Okay, so that was 4 years ago. So right after Trump became president, and this is kind of, I don't want to get too political because, you know, I respect everybody's opinion and what they, you know, decide to do with that. But, and there was a lot of chaos going on worldwide, and there still is. And, you know, it's a lot of, you know, school shootings and those things were happening. And, you know, racism has always been there. And that's kind of what I wrote about, as like, you know, I had in mind as more of an anthem, where, you know, music has been such a great tool to express how you feel. And it's a tool to kind of use for people to you know, use their voice and give voice to the voiceless kind of thing. So, and you know, in the chorus, it talks about, like it goes, show us who you really are. It's kind of, you know, it was me telling Mr. President Trump, saying, hey, show us who you really are. Just please think, you know, drop all your greed and just think about just people's happiness and put that first, you know, then we can, you know, all fight together. That was kind of what it was actually. It's kind of like an anthem protest type of vibe, but it's still, you know, having that desire to all of us to like be together and fight together for, you know, everybody's happiness. So, yeah.
Dig it.
Yeah.
On that note, I'm grateful for that song. So now we'll do our group gratitude circle. So if you're in the Zoom and you want to participate, come on down. And this is how we roll. So if this is your first time and you're watching on YouTube and you're like, what's the group gratitude circle? I'll tell you. So on this show, sometimes we talk about heavy stuff. Sometimes we talk about fun stuff, but we always like to end it on a positive note, so we always bring it back to gratitude. We do this at the end of our in-person events. We do it at the end of our calls for our community programs. We do it at the end of the virtual campfire. So we'll start with something that we're grateful for, and then we'll all wave goodbye to everybody on YouTube who's watching live, and then we'll just kind of hang out for a little bit when we get done. So.
Set myself free while I'm hiking my feelings.
Thank you for joining us around the virtual campfire. Sometimes we talk about heavy topics, sometimes we tell poop stories, but regardless of what we've discussed, we always like to end the show on a high note. At the end of our live broadcasts, we invite our community to share what they're grateful for in a segment called the Group Gratitude Circle. Every week, I'm thankful for you. Thank you for taking time out of your busy life to connect with us and witness these stories of hope, healing, and inspiration in the outdoors. If you'd like to gather with us around the campfire live each week, join the Hiking My Feelings virtual campfire VIPs. If this were a legit talk show, you'd be sitting in our studio audience. We haven't been picked up by a major network yet, so for now, we gather on Zoom. Here, you can connect with the community before and after the broadcast, hang out for sound check when we have musical guests, participate in the Q&A, join in on the group gratitude circle, and be eligible to receive prizes and gifts from our sponsors, partners, and guests. Learn more and join us at hikingmyfeelings.org/campfire. Don't forget to leave a review, subscribe, and share this episode with your friends, family, colleagues, and anyone else who could use a dose of community and connection. Follow us on Instagram, we're at Hiking My Feelings, and you can tag your journey with #HikingMyFeelings. And if you're picking up what we're putting down and you want to be part of this movement, join the Hiking My Feelings family at family.hikingmyfeelings.org. In case nobody told you lately, you are a brilliant human who is destined to do epic things in this world. Join us next week for more stories of hope, healing, and inspiration in the outdoors. Until then, happy trails!